Alright, aren't you glad that God loves sinners? Amen. I sure am. I'm glad that God loves me. And God loved me enough to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross and shed His blood to make the payment, the atonement for my sin, to be buried and rise again so I could have eternal life. And so you could too. Amen. And I'm glad that when I called and asked Him to forgive my sin and be my Savior, that He didn't say, I'll think about it. He said, I will, and He saved my soul. Aren't you glad to be saved tonight? Amen? And I'll tell you what, nothing like knowing for a fact, without a doubt, that you're born again, that you're saved by the good grace of God, that your sins have been washed in the blood of Calvary, and that heaven is your home. Amen? It's a wonderful thing to be free from the bondage of sin. And so I'm thankful for that tonight. Take your Bible. If you have one with you, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. The book of Acts, chapter number 1. We'll find our text beginning in verse number 1 tonight. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 1. And if you're able, I'd like to ask you, if you could, to stand with me, please, out of respect of the reading of the text of the Lord's Word this evening. Acts chapter 1. And we'll read, and then we'll have a word of prayer together, and then you can be seated after that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, the eternal life we have because of Christ. Thank you for sending your Son to die in our place on Calvary, to shed His blood, to pay for our sins, to be buried and rise again, that we might have eternal life through Him. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, or anyone listening to the message through way of the internet that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray you'll speak to their hearts. I pray they'll see the truth of the gospel tonight. And I pray that they'll be saved. I pray people be saved as a result of your word. Lord, we'll thank you for it. Lord, I pray you cleanse me of all sin. Help me to say what you'd have me say and nothing that you would have not. I pray Christ to be exalted and glorified. And I pray that in all things that you would get the glory as well. Lord, encourage those maybe who are discouraged tonight. Reclaim those that are backslidden, and Lord, I pray that you would challenge us all to be all you have us to be. I pray thy Holy Spirit would do what only He can and apply the word to our hearts. When the invitation comes, help us to obey you and respond to you. We love you, Lord. Help us to have a heart for souls. We ask you all in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Acts chapter 1. Familiar passage of Scripture, probably, to most of us. There's some things in here that are good things for us to learn and to apply to our lives. And I want to ask us this question tonight. With the Lord's help, I'd like to preach on this subject, on the constraint of missions. The constraint of missions. And we think about the word constraint, we similar to the word compel. You ever thought about missionaries? And I know your pastor was on the mission field for several years, and I had some people familiar with that. I know you all support many missionaries, and you're involved in the work of missions around the world. To go into a foreign country, to a foreign culture, for their whole lives, what compelled them, what constrained them to go into that? Send me a postcard. Yeah, it won't bother me if God never sends me to Alaska. Negative 25 degrees is not my idea of fun. Alaska and Canada, those kind of things. Those passages in the Word of God, and we see the example of other believers, other you want me to do, and wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Mark your place here in Acts. We'll come back to that in a minute. I thought it was interesting. Twice in that passage of Scripture we read in Acts chapter number 1, Jesus commanded his disciples something. You know, so we'll think about that. You think about missions, you think about the Apostle Paul. That man, how God used the Apostle Paul to reach thousands of people for the gospel of Christ and for Christ. There are times, and I'll be honest with you tonight, Pastor, I don't know if I can. If I would be a friend, I just don't know. I hope that the Lord doesn't ever ask me. But the Apostle Paul, he did. He took all of that. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got up every day and he went from town to town preaching the Lord of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and talking to the Jews in different places about the need of Jesus. And in spite of all the opposition and all the persecution and all the problems and all the in verse number 14, the Bible says this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all," watch this, "then we're all dead.
to yield our hearts to God, to live for God, ought to be this first thing we read here is a love. You know why I endure shipwrecks? You know why I endure beatings? You know why I endure imprisonments? Well, I am learning something in my study from the Word of God. I'm learning this. The more He loves us, the more we'll understand how much that our life needs to God. To leave His throne in glory and to take your sin upon Himself. In our place. He loved us that much. And the more we see it, the more we ask the Holy Spirit, the more it will help us to love Him, and the more it will constrain us to want to. In verse number 14 and 15 of this chapter, 2 Corinthians 5. Let's read verse 14 and then verse 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That they which live, that's us. God has a purpose for me. God has a will for my life. Something that He wants to fulfill. And it's not just what we do. Therefore, all of us. It's not mine to do with what I own or what I want to do anymore. My body is not mine. It's the Lord's. And it's His love for me that can strengthen me. This is not up for you. Listen, if I love my wife tonight, I do love my wife. If I love my wife, though, it's going to come out. What you love, comes up tonight. In every area of your life, it can kind of come back to you what you love and what you find. If I love my wife, I'm going to do something that I love God. I'm going to take her to the Mexican restaurant, not because I love Mexican food, because I don't really love Mexican food. But she loves me. And so occasionally we go to the Mexican restaurant. And I found one thing on the menu that I don't even like to do. You walk in, you sit down, and the waiter's on the plate. You know how I want to sit because I want to go on my plate. So, that's why I'm on the plate. I don't even want to do it. I walk in, I sit down, I want to go on the plate. I want to go on the plate. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I saw the doctor there when I was working with her. And but you know why I would do that? I do that because I love her and I want her to be good. And so, if I love the Lord Jesus Christ, then I love the Lord Jesus Christ. She's going to come out in my head. Not a burden, it's a blessing. Amen. I get to go and I get to learn more about Christ. I get to learn more about the Word of God. Hey, if I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be happy.
And I love him. Jesus Christ told his disciples in John chapter 15, he said, "Ye are my religion, do what I say." Saying this, he said, "You are men and women. I'm not talking to you about it. We are my friends." And then he's saying this, he said, if we are returning our friendship to him, it'll show up in our hearts.
In how I live. So it's the charity of Christ. It's the proof of my love. Can I say this is because of Christ's command to his church? So what constrains us? What constrains the missionary to go? What constrains us to be involved in this work of soul winning and in this work of trying to reach people with the gospel of Christ? It's the command that Jesus gave to his disciples, to his followers, and to his church. In verse number 8 of Acts chapter number 1, and in verse number 2, it talks about how that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And in verse number 8, he said this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." It's Christ's command. And he told us this, those were the last words that and his disciples did what all of us would do, right? And they gazed up into heaven, and some angels came down. To these men. But they said the same thing. But until then, Jesus left them with the ring. Now we know everything God does in order. There's a lot of problems, and but because the Holy Spirit of God has power.
didn't understand that tonight.
And what a wonderful truth. What a wonderful God we serve. It's God's command to His church and Christ's command to His church. He said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." He told them where they were to go, right? In verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you," or after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, "and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Man, that's why we believe in world missions.
Amen.
Why we believe in reaching out to people.
Why we believe in the order of reaching out to people. We're not just there to find people. We can help those people that God called to get there. And then to be there to do what God called them to. That's what we believe in.
Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. It's the command of Christ. So what constrains us? Number one, is the love of Christ. Number two, is the command of Christ. You say this. Number three, and I'd like to ask you to turn to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. The third thing that ought to constrain us, and one of the great motivators for me in my life to serve the Lord, is this. It's the cry that is coming forth from hell. The cry from hell. Luke chapter 16, verse number 22. We'll pick up inside the story. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." I'm challenged tonight, and every time I read this passage, and I'm burdened, and I think about this rich man and the account that God gives us, as He just gives us a short account of what happened. As God pulled back the curtain and He lets us see and He lets us read and hear a little bit about what happened, we think about the cry from hell. My pastor has said on more than one occasion, the greatest prayer meeting in all the world or all the universe is going on right inside the pits of hell tonight. I'd say there's probably a lot of proof of that. But see what the rich man said. The first thing he says, as he looks up and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, in verse 24, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Can I share with us mind still hoping for mercy? And he says to Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on him. And send Lazarus. Try to torment him this morning. What an awful thing. What an awful thing.
We find out there is no mercy. It can't be given.
You and I that have experienced the good mercy of God and the grace of God. that the Holy Spirit reminds me of that as I'm out and about.
I'm just as human as anybody else is. I'm not the most outgoing. Sometimes the Holy Spirit reminds me, you know, a little bit of break is not nearly as bad as spending a day in hell. Sometimes I thought, well, what if that person thinks bad of me because I tried to witness them? I thought that about somebody. They're lost. I'm not doing it. I've been so nervous about trying to witness. And I thought, what is that? They're just
a little bit of fear that I might have now. The cry from hell constrains us. It compels us to want to be involved in the work of God. The cry from hell is this: have mercy on me. Send one to help me. Isn't that what the rich man said? Send Lazarus to me. I've heard it said more than once. If you claim to be a friend of somebody and never tell them about Christ, you're not much of a friend. If you know they're lost and you refuse to say anything to them about Christ, you're not much of a friend. That's probably true. Your friend to help me. Can I say this to you tonight? You have more influence on people you know than people that you don't know. You and I, we have more.
We read it, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to all the world to preach the gospel, whether you know people or not. But can I say this? Let's not go around the neighborhood or around our town, not on the board. We're afraid of my family won't think because they're family and I know them and they know me.
May God help us to be willing to help. He said this, he said, I'm tormented in this flame. Can I just note for you in this day and age of doubt and questioning of God and the Word of God and the things of God, the flame in hell is still real. It's still real. Let me ask you a question.
Anyone in here have a burden? I have been gone a few times. Most of them would be considered minor ones.
Because the flame is real. Except, they put the fire out on my dad. The flame is real. And then he said this in verse 27,
verses 25 and 26, Abraham tells him, he said, I cannot do anything for you. Verse 27, then the rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. It was the last part of his cry. He said, if you can't help me, send somebody to help my family. Send somebody to help my family. Can I say to us tonight, there are people in hell that are hoping somebody will go reach their family. That's a sobering thought. God, help us to say, Lord, you know, help me to lay aside myself a little bit. Help me to lay aside maybe the things of this world a little bit so that I can serve you. You might use me to reach somebody with the gospel because there are people who are dying all around us in this world without Christ that need salvation. They need to be rescued from the pits of hell. There may be somebody that has family members already there and they by no means want their family member to be where they are. Sometimes you may hear or you may hear illustration of people that say, well, me and my buddies, we're going to have a good time in hell. No, they're not. Nobody that's ever left this world without Christ, 5 seconds after they left, thought, oh man, this is going to be a great time. 5 seconds after they've left out into eternity and they've entered the pits of hell and the flames of hell, they thought, dear God, don't let any of my family come here because it's real. The cry is desperate and sincere. God, help us to go. One final thing will be done tonight. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. It's the command of Christ that constrains us. It's the cry from hell that should constrain us. And can I say this? It's the call for more laborers. The call for more laborers. Matthew chapter number 9. It has become a favorite passage of scripture of mine, not my only favorite, but one of many. Matthew chapter number 9, verse 37, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he is looking out at the multitudes and the people. In verse 37, the Bible says this, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Man, what a challenge. And a verse we all know. The harvest is plenteous, and you know it. Everywhere around this church. You don't have to go far from the doors of this church tonight. As he looked out on the multitude, and they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He said unto them, the harvest of so then he said in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's the call for more laborers. That is the call for more. There may be someone in here tonight that God may have been dealing with you as a young man about. This is you in the hearts of God to say that. Maybe there's a young lady in here that God has dealt with you about being involved in the work of God. And I encourage you to say yes to God. Why? Say, why should I lay aside the things of this world? That there is more work than can be done just by those that are coming from. Our world right now is nearing 8 billion in population. Just an enormous amount.
harvest plants. Jesus said it to the disciples. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Two things I get from that, and we're done tonight. Number one, I need to pray that God will send more laborers. That's the obvious application. Amen.
We need to pray. As a church, you need to pray. God send more laborers.
I see we need more laborers. God, I see that. God, I see that Jesus loved me enough to die for me. And not only did he die for me, he died for everybody in all the world. And dear God, because of that love, I'm constrained to want to do something. So God said to me,
God help us not to say words to somebody else.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor.